Hello and welcome to the first ever installment of Kirch's Corner here on YouTube. I am the host, Lucas Kirchner, bringing you your weekly Wisconsin sports news. First off, just introduce the show and myself. I'm a lifelong Wisconsin sports fan that wound up at the University of Minnesota, but don't hold that against me. Despite my Gopher allegiance, I'm still the same diehard Wisconsin sports guy, and I'm here to bring you your quick updates on the sports world in the Cheesehead State. I'll give the headlines as well as my own thoughts and opinions. And with that being said, we're going to start off with the big topic of the NBA draft. So the Milwaukee Bucks did not hold a first-round draft pick this year. So all the eyes were on, of course, their second-round pick, number 47, which they used to take Bogey Markovich. And of course, fans were not too happy with it. He's a 19-year-old from Serbia that played in the ABA, but he actually put up some decent numbers overseas with double-digit scoring and such. He has good height, stands at about 6'11", and fits the bill of the modern NBA, kind of skinny, tall guy. He's really similar in play style and build to Alex Pokuševski, the former player for the Oklahoma City Thunder. He was a big star for a little bit. He fits kind of in a good comparison to him. And I'm going to put it simply, he's nothing to rave about yet. But the pick was fine. There was nothing really wrong with it. I think a lot of fans wanted to see John Tanjay there because why wouldn't they want to see the Wisconsin guy stay home? But ultimately, this pick was what Wisconsin needed in Milwaukee, at least for the Bucks. They don't have an immediate option for impact at 47. I mean, it's a second-round pick. I think people are forgetting that. And he's a developmental guy. They're stashing and waiting with Bogey. They don't have youth right now. That's the biggest thing that anybody can tell you about Milwaukee. So it makes sense for them to take this guy and let him develop a little bit. And eventually, they'll be hoping that he'll come around as a prospect. Like I said, it's a second-round pick with the dramatics of a first round because that's all they had this year. But after the draft, they signed Mark Sears, point guard from Alabama. And this is a move that I'm actually really excited about. And you could say, oh, he's on a two-way contract, he's undrafted, more like a summer league guy, but I think he could be a really good pickup pending how he turns out in the NBA. Because in case you missed it, Sears was an All-American and a dog at Alabama. A really efficient scorer that can shoot the ball really well, and he's a point guard. That's what Milwaukee needs right now. With Damian Lillard out, Ryan Rollins as a free agent, there is a lot of uncertainty as to who's going to fill that role at the one. And, I mean, he's undersized. His defense obviously isn't his strong suit, but this is a guy that could translate to a solid role player for the Bucks. And with Damian Lillard out, I like the pickup at that position. But we got to look at Milwaukee other than the draft. Just recently, Kevin Porter Jr. entered the free agency after declining his player option. And in my opinion, I think in a lot of people's opinion, the Bucks really want to get him back. He wasn't a star in his current form for Milwaukee, but he was such a big reason why the Bucks did anything after the trade deadline. He was a consistent bucket getter, and it would really hurt Milwaukee to lose him. But of course, the Bucks are in a terrible place with their cap space, so it's depending on what happens with other teams offering Kevin Porter Jr., and the Bucks might not be able to afford him after that. But fans can rest comfortably knowing Bobby Portis is back. He got his deal done right after the option deadline for 3 years, $44 million. And honestly, that's a lot better than I expected. With a guy like Bobby, I'm sure he could find a lot more money elsewhere. In my opinion, he's in the Naz Reid tier of bench guys. He's that upper echelon that you really want at the sixth man. And we saw the amount of money that Naz Reid just got from the Wolves, over $100 million over 5 years. And Bobby's on this very valuable deal, in my opinion, and he could very well be a starter for Milwaukee next season. I think this is a really good sign for them. But otherwise, they're also showing interest in guys like Andrew Wiggins. There's been rumors of Bobby Portis being involved in a sign-and-trade to acquire Andrew Wiggins, and Jonathan Kuminga would move in that situation as well. And meanwhile, they extended a qualifying offer to Ryan Rollins, who I know they for sure want to get back. He was really great at the end of the season, filling in for Damian Lillard and another young guy that they desperately need right now. And with returning guys, Brook Lopez, Gary Trent, Kevin Porter Jr., Torian Prince, Jericho Sims, and Ryan Rollins are all free agents as of right now. So kind of a little potential for turnover for the Bucks, but the free agency is coming up. It's going to be wild. It's going to be interesting to see what Milwaukee chooses to do. But other than that, let's move over to Green Bay. In Green Bay, we're still really in those early stages of camps and preseason, but it's been filled with plenty of drama already. And people are looking for that new move after Jaire Alexander hit the road to Baltimore. And that's definitely a valid feeling. I think Packers fans have felt like that for years when they lose their big guys, their big names. People are mentioning Jalen Ramsey. He's on the market. Trey Hendrickson hasn't signed. Asante Samuel Jr. is a free agent. There's always these rumors with the big players, and of course everybody wants them, but as we know, as Packer fans, nothing much really ever happens with those big names in free agency. Up until recently, until we got Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney, that was a long-lost memory. And a lot of people were criticizing the front office for letting Jaire walk, but I don't hate the move. It opened up a lot of cap room for them for next year. Obviously, everybody saw that cap opening and said, we need to get Trey Hendrickson, we need to get Jalen Ramsey, but I think what they're planning to do is just stash that cap away, just to re-sign some players next year, keep that talent coming in, and rely on the younger guys they have. And if you ask me, the only real possibility of a move before preseason, regular season, would be a wide receiver release or trade before the season. There's a lot of competition in that wide receiver room right now. We know that. And it's likely to turn into a situation of too many cooks in the kitchen. Somebody would end up being the odd man out, and that's what we're looking for as this season kind of ramps up. But otherwise, we're still really early on. There's not too much going on, and there's just speculation about what's to come for next season. But regardless, we can relax about Jaire's departure. When you compare that DB room from last year to this year, most of the season, it was worse. Of course, the few games with Jaire were great, but we fought without him for most of the year. Now you add Nate Hobbs and open the door for guys like Nixon to actually carve out their main role. There's not that much uncertainty now with Jaire not being injured every week. You know who's going to be out there, and now they have that opportunity to take that role. And with that being said, there's way too much criticism on those guys already, especially considering the job they did last year almost exclusively without Jaire Alexander. And now people are making it out to be a far worse situation. Of course, it's typical, it's understandable, but just trust the process, I'd say, with that. I think the DB room is probably going to surprise some people, especially when you still got Xavier McKinney back there. I think they're just going to be just fine. And now let's circle back to Milwaukee. And the Brewers have been excellent in this closing half of June, winning 8 of their last 11 games. They just lost to the Rockies, almost swept that series. And if you ask me, they should have. But regardless of that, they've been great. That slots them second in the NL Central right now, 2 games behind the Cubs, or might be 3 after the Rockies. But overall, they're 5th in the National League with potential to move up. They're doing really well. They're in a good spot as of right now. But that's not what you want to talk about with the Brewers. I know what you want to talk about. It's Jacob Mizorowski. My goodness, he is the real deal. I'll tell you that much. 6'7", hitting 100 miles per hour consistently and buckling hitters with his slider. We saw that in Minnesota. He was disgusting against the Twins. Outbattled Skeens at home. He has just been a wonder kid for the Brewers. In his 3 starts, he's given up only 3 hits and 2 runs that came from the same home run against the Twins, and 19 strikeouts across his 6 starts. It's only been 3 games, but he has been absolutely legit for that team. Really excited to see how he goes. And in addition, the former MVP Christian Yelich holds a 12-game hitting streak, and he has absolutely turned around his season. At the start of June, he was batting .233. Now he's up to around .260. And in this streak, he has been really impressive, batting around .400, .412 with 21 hits, 3 home runs, 18 RBI, and 6 doubles. And if he can keep this up, the Brewers are going to be sitting real nicely in that NL Central. But don't celebrate yet. After this series against the Rockies, they have a tough road trip against the Mets out in New York. After that, They have a little more of a calm series against the Marlins in Florida, and then they come home to play the Dodgers on that Fourth of July weekend. So that's obviously going to be a tough series against one of the best teams in baseball. It's going to be rough to start July schedule-wise, but it's the real test to see what this Brewers team can do, especially when they're hitting their stride right in time. They're going to have their challenges. They're going to have their work cut out for them, but I think that's what it's all about at the end of the day. But all around, that's what you need to know about the sports across the Dairyland this week. Keep your eyes on the NBA free agency. Watch Super Bowl 45 again and turn on the Brewers this 4th of July weekend. Thank you for listening, everybody. This is Lucas Kirchner with Kirch's Corner.